Hello and welcome to the Weirder Things podcast, the Scottish podcast about all things weird and paranormal in Scotland on the Paranormal UK radio network, beaming to the rest of the UK and all around the world. I'm Michael McCann.
That sounded a bit ominous. And I'm Ennis Smith.
Yeah, so we're trying this new scripted thing, let's see how that goes. Get into that. Hello and welcome to episode 5 in the podcast.
Yeah, doesn't matter. It's just a number in it.
Yeah, and I've got some breaking news this week.
Really?
We got an email.
No.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, we've got an email for a person. This email comes from Jarrett Foreman.
Right, okay, that's a good name.
Yeah, and the email says, "Hey guys.
Hi.
Love the podcast."
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. That's nice. "Just wanted to see if you two had ever heard or delved into a cryptid known as the Dogman."
The Dogman. Actually, no, I haven't. I've heard stories of the sort of alien big cats and out of place animals, things like that in Scotland, but not actually dog headed people. I think that is a thing. I'm aware of there being sort of werewolf sort of stories associated with Scotland. Apparently, somebody up in a croft in the Highlands once spotted a werewolf out the windy.
Is that true?
Is as true as anything else, isn't it?
Wait, someone you've came across, or is that something you just...
I have read in a book of some description, yeah. Can't exactly tell you exactly where and when, but...
Okay, the Dogman, I'm looking this up.
You're looking it up?
Because I've never heard of it either.
No, it's well, it becomes a thing, doesn't it? It's when so many people think, oh, dog-headed things, and then they go, oh, yeah, that's a thing now. So it becomes a thing, you know. Once it becomes a thing, then it becomes more reported.
Oh, it's from Michigan. It's American, yeah. So I take it, Jarrett is from the Michigan area, possibly, and they never left their details.
No, and they didn't leave a message, so it could be a dog-headed person, actually.
The Michigan Dogman is a werewolf-type creature.
There you go.
First spotted in 1887.
1887?
Yeah, in Wexford County in Michigan. Sightings have been reported in several locations throughout Michigan, primarily in the northwestern quadrant of the Lower Peninsula. In 1987, the legend of the Michigan Dogman gained popularity when a disc jockey at WTCM-FM recorded a song about the creature and its reported sightings.
Recorded a song? Well, that's how to boost credibility in some kind of paranormal phenomenon, isn't it?
Yeah.
It needs a song.
So thanks for your email.
Thanks for your email, and the answer is no. It wouldn't surprise me that people will report that now, but it's not something I've really come
across. If anybody listens to this podcast, reportings of that particular creature might go up.
I was walking in the park and I saw this dog, and it was walking on its hind legs.
Was the man walking the dog, or was the dog walking the man?
Fair enough, there was another man with it. Wait, biscuits and maybe a frisbee. Case closed.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, we've not come across that.
So thanks for the email. If anybody else listening wants to ask any questions about the podcast, or, you know, anything weird or paranormal or Scotland related, they can do that.
It's quite a familiar and ancient trope, the animal-headed human.
Yeah, it goes way back.
And there's different theories. The traditional one is, and why it's depicted so frequently in art, is because they'd actually depict shamans in some kind of altered state wearing sort of a mask or a head covering of some description, pretending, you know, taking loads of drugs and then going, "Yeah, I'm a pure animal man." And then, you know.
Yeah. That's just Saturday night, you know.
Saturday night. Yeah. Pure animal. I'm a beast.
Oh, he's a beast.
Yeah. But yeah. There was a really interesting little sort of essay I think popularised by Robert Schock, the geologist. I could find out if I dived over to my bookshelf, I could give you the name of the physicist. But this idea that this sort of mass coronal ejection, you know, the sun fires out all this crazy space sun energy, which messes with our atmosphere so much that it actually causes essentially extraordinary forms of lightning that actually form these sort of plasma, this sort of plasma interference that looks like a giant bird-headed person.
Okay.
and they've recreated these sort of plasma lightning zaps in the lab, and they do indeed look like that.
Oh, right, okay, so that is a thing.
It is a thing, and if you actually look at a lot of rock art and ancient petroglyphs, it actually matches with the physical electromagnetic phenomenon observed in the laboratory.
Okay.
Maybe we should just do our podcast speaking like this all the time.
You can.
Okay, let's do that. Live from Scotchland.
Yeah. So, What you saying? Sorry?
No, it was just going to be nonsense.
Oh, is that right? Okay. I was going to say, if anybody wants to email us, they can do that at weirderthingspodcast@gmail.com. You can Facebook us at
Yeah, do not bake our faces.
Yeah, and we're also on the Twitter.
We're on the Twitter as Weirder Podcast.
Weirder Podcast. We're right there. If you want to find us, you can find us.
Okay. But anyway, thank you very much for the email. We're very much appreciated. And the answer is basically no. I've not come across anybody saying I saw a dog-headed. I'll tell you what people have seen, though. Weird goat-footed things. People have seen some traditional, sort of ancient Greek sprites. Yeah, there was a haunting case somewhere in the borders of somebody seeing some goat-footed creatures lurking about the bottom of the bed. I mean, they could have been tripping balls, man.
That sounds like what that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goat-footed. How did they know that goat feet? Did they just like? Because if I woke up during the night, right?
They asked. And they said, "Excuse me, I notice you have some kind of hooves."
Yeah. What's going on?
From whence do your hooves come?
Yeah. So that wouldn't, that would be...
Goat feet, mate. Goat feet.
Yeah.
That's nothing better. See, when I want to climb up the side of buildings, goat feet. Recommend
that's
it.
That's true. That's true.
If you can choose,
great for climbing.
If you can choose your spectral bottom half, goat man, all the way.
Goat. You've got to be kidding.
You've got to get goat feet. Nothing better. Sticking to Woz. That's a good superhero. You don't get
goat man.
You don't get goat man, do you?
No, I don't know what Goatman's powers would be.
Well, first, if it was a billy goat, quite an astonishing stench, right?
Yeah,
which would keep the villains at bay.
Yeah, that would.
But mostly an ability to ascend almost vertical slopes in pursuit of a small amount of salt to lick.
Climb trees.
Climb trees, yeah.
Goats climb
trees. Washing, eat laundry.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound like somebody'd want there's a terrorist attack? Get Goatman.
You would? I would. I'd be the first person I'd call.
Yeah. Okay, what are we exploring this week?
Well, we've actually got a subject which is somewhat close to my heart. It's an interest of mine.
But not of mine.
Not of yours, no. So you can feel free to jump in at any time with abuse and ridicule.
Okay.
Now
you've said that, I'm going to. So.
Yeah, on you go. But it's spiritualism in Scotland, or Scotland's connection with spiritualism. And funnily enough, not unsurprisingly, Scotland really does have quite a large amount to do with the history of spiritualism, and some very prominent mediums in the history of spiritualism. And we're all over it. We're all over it, man.
I promise not to.
We're a small country, but we lead the world in so many ways, punch above our weight, and this includes spiritualism.
Okay, I'll try not to go off in any kind of rants this week.
I'm going to ask you a question, Michael. What is spiritualism?
What is spiritualism?
What is it? Or what is it? What is modern spiritualism?
Oh, that's modern. It could be modern. This is where I start ranting.
Go.
Right, so to me, and this isn't my subject, right? I know very little about this. So when people say to me modern spiritualism, you get people going along to these psychic centres for readings and all that kind of stuff. And there's like these spiritual churches and stuff like that as well. So spiritual healing or that kind of.
I have to say thing. This angry rant petered out really quickly there.
It did. It just wore me out so quickly, like just
Do you disapprove of these things?
To a degree, yes, I do.
And why do you disapprove?
because it's.
Be kind.
I'm trying to think of the right words. I am what I would describe as a open-minded skeptic, okay, right?
Fair enough. Yeah.
So I believe in stuff, right? Yeah. But I try to choose my words carefully.
You haven't entirely suspended your critical faculties.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. With this particular field.
Right. And do you feel that spiritualism perhaps embraces too much without thinking critically?
Yes, and there's... it is regulated to a degree.
Who regulates it?
They seem to regulate themselves, which seems to be a problem, you know. And there's often not a lot to back things up, and it's just a whole grey area.
Instead of the health and safety inspector, is that like the ghost inspector?
Like
the ghost inspector, a spectre inspector,
a spectre inspector. Yeah.
A person you know that happens to be a friend.
Yeah.
Or is it a friend that you know that happens to be a person?
Both.
As opposed to...
Yeah. Just this week, was going along to a well-known spiritual centre in somewhere in Scotland.
For those not watching in television, and that's everyone, Michael did air quotes.
Yeah. She went along and I basically says, right, this happened, and this happened. And she went, yeah, that all those three things happened.
And what do you mean? Do you mean that...
Because, well, firstly, there's somebody called John, right? John! Is there somebody called John, so there was a John. There was, when someone refuted something, it was, that's just what I'm being told.
Right.
Word for word, that's just what I'm being told.
Don't shoot the messenger, this is what they're telling me.
Yeah, this is what they're telling me.
Darling, you take that home. You find out later.
And that was the third thing.
Right.
Was, I'm just going to leave that message with you. Yeah, that was the third thing. And it seemed, no matter where you go or what, you know, that seems to be, that pops up quite a lot. There's a John here. He's got an illness here. He's got an illness here.
So do you feel that the information is too vague, too general?
Too vague, too general.
And then the second point, the way the information is conveyed, leaves it very open to interpretation.
Yes. And often when that is challenged, and you can't really argue with it out because it's so fantastical, usually, you know. Because the argument's like, that's just what they're telling me. So if you could actually, you know, you can check that out. Because if you could check that out, then you wouldn't be there in the first place. Because you would be able to speak to the spirits yourself. You know?
Yeah.
So you could be like, right, you could just cut out the middleman and speak to them yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's not me.
It's not me that's wrong. They're dead, so they're in the afterlife, so they're a bit confused. Apparently dying and being in the afterlife causes confusion.
Yeah. It's because time doesn't exist in the same way, you see.
Possibly, so
they often confuse future events with past ones and vice versa. That's probably, you know, that seems to be an issue.
Yeah. But where's the proof for that?
Well, spiritualists give you the proof, Michael.
Do they?
Well, apparently we do. Anyway, that was. I'm glad we just spent a wee 10 minutes there, just trying to tease out your.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm
fury.
What I will say is that anyone who has who takes, you know, if they go along to a medium or a psychic, because they've lost a loved one and they take comfort from that, then that's good. That's a good thing. If that helps that person with grief or whatever.
So you do think that it can be a force for
good? It can be a force. I wouldn't go as far as saying it's a force for good. But what I'll say is, if it gives some, it's like religion, right?
Gives people comfort.
If it gives people comfort, then, you know, I'm not against it. What I do, and I've said this on numerous occasions, is what I do have a problem with is when people take advantage of people who have maybe suffered a loss or whatever, and they see that particular demographic as people who are there to maybe be, you know, targeted for to take some cash from them, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So that's and there's a lot of skullduggery going on in that field, you know. There's a lot of fakers and, you know.
I would regrettably agree.
Yeah, and I want to believe that there is good, solid people out there who have these, you know, abilities and gifts and stuff like that, but I have yet to see it with my own eyes. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair dues.
That's where I sit.
Have you ever received a message yourself that you found convincing?
I have not.
I'll rephrase that again. Have you ever just heard a message? Have you ever had a medium give you a reading of something?
No.
No. Okay.
No. I've been to a few, and I've never, you know.
Never been singled which out.
It's kind of amazing considering like 90% of my family's dead. So either they don't want to talk to me.
That's likely.
Yeah. Maybe they just listen to the podcast in the afterlife. Maybe they don't need to. They can. Yeah. So I think I'm like, that's unusual. Like, I've got quite a large family, but a lot of them have passed on.
They've moved on to a higher realm.
Yes. And yeah, I've never heard from any of them. So yeah. So I never picked it. I don't know. Maybe I give off a certain energy that.
Maybe
they go, right, don't talk to him.
Maybe if you just invested 30 of your Scottish pounds, maybe they'd start chatting to you.
Yeah,
I think
that's a problem as well. Like, you need to, like, only when I you know, cross their palm, I start getting messages. You know, yeah, we could do.
Yeah, because that's if people aren't aware, and you might not be, spiritualists or spiritualist mediums, as they often demonstrate as part of circles or spiritualist churches, mm-hmm. and you're not charged. There's not a charge for that. The church might take a collection, but you're not charged. It doesn't cost you anything. The issue is obviously you're one amongst many in a congregation, and there's no guarantee that you will get a mm-hmm. message. If you got the money, you can obviously pay for a free freelancing spiritualist advisor.
Yeah, I mean,
who communicates with the the departed, the dear departed.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few in Glasgow where we are, right? Who are fairly well known.
Uh-huh.
You always hear the same couple, and oh, go to that person; they're really good. And then there's other, I don't know. I just I'm curious. I've thought about doing it. I've thought about going along to one of them just to see what would happen.
Do you know what I think? I know what we should do. I think we should chip in some money, and we'll find one that's going to do a reading, and we'll pay them, and we'll ask them to record it.
Would they do that?
Well, it's up to them. I mean, just say I'm recording it. Is that all right? And they'll probably say, yeah, that's fine. And then just do it, and then we can listen back to it.
All right, that's a good experiment. We could do that.
We could do that for our future podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that and see how that works out, how that pans out.
Need to find the right one, though.
Or the wrong one. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, if we're going to be scientific about
it. Okay, yeah, it needs to be random. We can just go. Yeah,
let's just go to the bit. But I mean, we just obviously go to somebody that we hope is giving some good information, but there's no guarantee, you know, because that's the thing. They might just be having an off day.
They might
just be having an off day.
All I say is, I've heard stories of people like literally been walking down the street, and then some, like, a person's came up to them and went, your Uncle Charlie's asking for you, or whatever. They'll come up and they'll volunteer information.
So
to
that's
people.
That's not so much like a freelance spiritualist, but more like a vigilante one.
yeah, just kind of like giving people unwarranted sort
of
readings.
The Charles Bronson of the medium world, just kicking people's. Perceptions of the world in and blasting them with some information from beyond the grave. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a woman behind you. I think it's your granny. Yeah. You know, like things like that. Yeah. I find that quite interesting. There's people who, you know, claim to have this gift, where they just they seem to get a message. For just a person, and they'll volunteer. Oh right, sorry to bother you. While you're, you know, getting your shopping, but your granny's here, and she says, you know, there's something good coming this way, kind of for you, you know, that kind of thing. So I've heard a few stories like that. I find that interesting, because it's unwarranted and it's a bit random.
Yeah, good.
So I find that particularly interesting.
Maybe that's another future podcast.
It'd be.
Vigilante mediums roaming the street.
Gangs, they roam in gangs, you need to be careful. Gangs, them, yeah.
Or circles, as they're known. Circles.
Yeah.
So, moving on. That was an interesting diversion.
And it was.
We set it up. We found out where you're standing there, Michael.
You've done it on purpose.
So we'll return to the meat and two veg of the subject, which is Scotland's place in the history of spiritualism. So, just to let you know, I mean, you could argue very, very strongly for the case that spiritualism has always been with us. People communicating with the other world, whatever they think is in the other world, whether it's spirits of the deceased or other world entities or whatever, that goes back to time immemorial. So you have shamanistic, animistic cultures that have always communicated. And certainly during certain periods of the past, people have communicated with the dead. I wasn't particularly aware, but a historian brought it to my attention that even during the French Revolution, they were going crazy for seances. And of course, the word seance is, it's a French word. So during the Red Terror, when the aristocrats were all being beheaded, people were going mad, mad keen for that spiritualist craze. But it wasn't necessarily called spiritualism back then. It wasn't necessarily a mass movement. Other interesting individuals like Swedenborg. Have you heard of Swedenborg?
Swedenborg, no.
Emanuel Swedenborg, a Swedish scientist. He was essentially a spiritualist. His followers called themselves spiritualists, and so that's so there is a precedent. But basically, the reason why we call it modern spiritualism is it dates to a specific mass movement that started in the state of New York, near the town of Rochester, a place called Hydesville, and it was basically
near Rochester.
There you go. That's where it started, and it was basically a family called the Fox family, the Fox sisters, in a place Hydesville in 1848, and that's where modern spiritualism came. And it was through this rapping, and of course the whole idea of like communicating with ghosts with rapping, that's not new either. That's something that happened before during hauntings, etc. But really, modern spiritualism starts with the Fox sisters. What happens is it becomes a big craze. They communicate with an alleged discarnate entity, a ghost of a peddler who was alleged to have died within the property, murdered, and buried underneath the foundations. The girls said that they communicated with him, calling him Mr. Splitfoot, do as I do. It was actually one of their neighbours that suggested the whole kind of one knock for yes and one for no, and then you'd run through, you'd read out the alphabet, and you could get communication going. So, and then the later innovations came with things like table turning, and then you had the planchette, and then the Ouija boards and things like that to speed up the whole process. But basically, what I find quite interesting is spiritualism from 1848 is basically by the time it gets to like the early 1850s. So within just a small number of years, spiritualism is huge, and spiritualists do argue, but judging purely on the magazines that were printed at the time, spiritualist newspapers and magazines. In the early 1850s, is spiritualism might have had as many of the 3 million adherents in America. So it's an enormous explosion in interest. And that's obviously very much resting on the interest, the previous interest in sort of mesmerism. People used to go into sort of mesmeric or hypnotic trances and have these supernatural powers. So, and they used to, you know, gather together in rooms. And so it was almost like spiritualism. But then spiritualism comes along, you're now communicating with the departed, and it really takes off. So it's brought to this country in 1853, a couple of mediums accompanying essentially a couple of mesmerists. They called themselves electrobiologists. A Professor Stone did his electrobiology and toured the UK, and he brought a couple of American mediums with him, and then that's basically what kicked off mediumship. But the really interesting thing about this mass movement is, even though the Fox sisters were, you know, by any modern standard big celebrities, there was a tremendous amount of interest in them. They used to do a lot of touring, which did indeed generate cash. But the first like superstar of spiritualism was a Scot. He was a Scot. He was born in Curry in Edinburgh. He was called Daniel Dunglass Hume. He did move to America, to New York, when he was a sort of young teenager. I think he moved when he was 11 or 13 or something. Can't remember. I always get those ages mixed up with Carnegie. So there you go, because Andrew Carnegie was a Scot who, as a young man, a young boy, moved to America. But anyway, D.D. Hume from Edinburgh moved to America, and it was actually in 1850, so 2 years after spiritualism started to kick off in America, is they had a sitting, and then basically he got tremendous results, lots of wrappings, lots of furniture moved, and he was staying with his aunt and uncle in New York, and things kicked off so much that there was so much activity that he was actually thrown out of his house. And from that point on, he basically, he never did a proper job. He basically sustained himself purely by demonstrating his spiritualistic gifts. In terms of the 20th century, also, pretty much one of the most famous mediums was Helen Duncan from Callander.
Yeah.
And she was famous. She was sort of active during the 1920s and 30s and yes, even the 40s. And she's kind of most famous for being tried under the Witchcraft Act. And the assumed story is that she was a martyr, a spiritualist martyr, and basically she brought through the spirit during a seance. She was Scottish, and she was from Callander, but she she moved down south. She lived in the south coast of England. I think it's either Portsmouth or Plymouth.
Yes.
Anyway, one of those big sort of Navy towns anyway. And basically during a sitting she gave away information that she couldn't possibly have known normally, because the Ministry of War at the time hadn't released the information that the ship had sank.
Yes, basically what happened was
now you know, Michael.
Yes. Basically what had happened, she gave a reading to I think it was a woman whose son had died.
Yeah.
Who was on this ship, and said that and she's like, well, that can't possibly be true, because that boat hasn't sank, because they hadn't released that information.
Yeah.
And then it was like weeks later that, or months, I think it was actually months later, the news came that the boat had in fact been torpedoed by a Nazi U-boat. I've got problems with.
It was called the HMS Barham.
That was it. I kept wanting to say the Belgrano, but that was something else.
Yeah.
And there's just one more thing I want to pick up on before you carry on, is she was tried under the Witchcraft Act, but the Witchcraft Act is not what people think it is. People think the Witchcraft Act was you were being tried for being a witch, but it wasn't. It meant something else. But
we covered this in our show all about witches.
We did.
Yeah, and it's basically it's pretending to be a witch,
yeah,
or pretending to have magical powers.
Yes. People think that she was arrested and put on trial for being a witch, but that wasn't the case. It was for pretending to be one or have magical powers. She was arrested on several occasions, and raids and stuff carried out in her house and stuff like that, because for being a fraud, the government and the police were trying to get her on fraud charges because they believed that she was doing these readings, taking money off people, and that she wasn't actually, she didn't have these powers, basically.
Yeah, I mean, my, because I know quite a lot of people who are either spiritualists or they are psychical researchers that are quite sympathetic to spiritualism, and a lot of them pretty much go along with the official story that she was this medium martyr who was wrongfully arrested, and also including they say that during her death, her death was actually caused by, during a seance, she was bringing out this full materialization, and somebody actually thought that the spectre that she was materializing was not ectoplasm, but something like cheesecloth, and went to grab this materialization. And what happened is the ectoplasm, shocked and panicked by this disgusting and skeptical assault by a police officer, ran back into the abdomen of Helen Duncan so quickly that it burned her on her side, and essentially killed her. And that's why you must never, ever touch an apparition during a seance, because it's obviously, definitely ectoplasm, and you might kill the medium. However, there's loads and loads of evidence of, don't tell spiritualists. Yeah, there's loads of evidence that Helen Duncan was caught at it loads of times.
Yes.
She was actually investigated by the ghost investigator Harry Price in 1931, who was actually aided and abetted in his investigations by Professor William McDougall. And Professor William McDougall was basically, he went off to the University of Duke University, basically in Carolina, and it was his psychology department that, that essentially gave J.B. Ryan the space and the money to start proper parapsychology. So essentially the sort of godfather of parapsychology, William McDougall, investigated Helen Duncan with Harry Price, and they discovered she was totally at it. Is basically, in fact, I've got a nice wee quote here. The first seance was over just before 10 o'clock, and I must say that I was deeply impressed. I was impressed with the brazen effrontery that prompted the Duncans to come to my laboratory and attempt to put over their stuff and our experts. The only thing that puzzled us during our first seance with Mrs. Duncan was where she kept the stuff, but she was a regurgitator, and she used to she used to swallow vast amounts of cheesecloth and regurgitate it. But, I mean, all I could say is if anybody thinks Helen Duncan is genuine, then just go to one of the most famous photographs of Helen Duncan during a seance. It's a seance in 1928 revealing what is alleged to be an apparition, and it's the worst sort of papier-mâché type doll face.
I've seen this.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Absolutely appalling. And of course, in very poor light, you know.
I'm going to pull this up just as we're talking about.
So it's basically, it's a, what was called, meant to be her her spirit guide was Peggy. But Peggy was, I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like,
It's a sex doll. It looks like a sex doll.
Well, it's not the kind of, not one that I would buy.
No, definitely. It's like one of the ones, anyway. You know, when you see these gangs of guys on, or women.
These gangs of guys or women?
Yeah, on stag does or hen does.
Right. Yes, okay.
And they carry the...
That was a good recovery.
Yeah, the sex doll with
You know when you see other people... Doll,
yeah.
Yeah, you know when you see other people with that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the least... It's the least...
Not me, I don't have a sex doll. No need for a sex doll.
But yeah, unbelievable. It's just like, it's the least convincing thing anyway. So if you are listening to this and you want to give yourself a little treat, look up online Helen Duncan and photographs, and you'll see just the least convincing or impressive photographs of anything ever.
Yeah, I mean, Helen Duncan, I mean, they wouldn't have investigated her, but they wouldn't have went after her with such gusto if she wasn't up to something.
Yeah.
And the fact she lived in a seafaring town.
Yeah.
Is probably how she came across that information.
Yeah, I mean, Harry Price wrote at length, and if you want to, you know, check it out, it basically, it's just Google basically Harry Price's account of investigating Helen Duncan, because it's hilarious, just the hijinks, you know, she was unbelievable.
But she is, you're right, she is martyred by...
But she's regarded as this martyr of...
Yeah, it's very strange. Nonsense. And that, I think that's why I am as sceptical about the subject as I am, when people, you know, use her as, oh, you know, Helen, she was the one, and they persecuted her as a witch, yeah, and that kind of stuff. When it's just clearly rubbish. She was totally at it.
Here's a question for you, though. Do you think it's possible that they can be at it and not at it at the same time, and some kind of trickster type character?
I think maybe some people... like I said, I'm an open-minded sceptic when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, maybe people can communicate.
Come up with the goods and fake it when they can't manage it, do you think?
Yeah.
Because that's certainly an excuse that spiritualists often use. Ah, but you know, when you need to perform, you're under pressure, and, you know.
I think that's the problem. Just be honest. Just
say, I can't do
just,
it.
Just be honest. Just, oh, there's nothing here. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not your dancing monkey.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And have to take money. Give the money back. Just be like, oh, you know what?
Can't do it.
Here's your money back.
Yeah.
That's going to get you more, you know, credibility.
And
don't take the money and then just go, oh, John's here.
Yeah,
you know.
So the last sort of pivotal figure in modern spiritualism, I'm going to mention, who's Scottish, was and I'll do this very, very quickly. He was a spiritualist. He wasn't a medium though. He was Arthur Findlay, and he was a Scottish or sort of Glasgow stockbroker, so sort of money man. They made his money, and he bought this incredible estate outside Stansted, and in the 1920s. And when he died, he actually left his estate, his big mansion house, to basically the spiritualists, to further the spiritualist education, spiritualist cause. And it's now the Arthur Findlay College is basically sort of Hogwarts for spiritualist mediums. And that was actually, Arthur Findlay was he was Scottish.
I've heard people speak about it, but I don't know a lot about it. But I was surprised to learn that there is this spiritualist Hogwarts where people go to learn to channel their gift and stuff. If it's a real thing, fair enough. If they want to go there and try and figure out and be good at it and better at it, fine. But if you're just a total con artist who's, yep, I can speak to the dead, give me your money, and I'll happily separate you from 30 quid or however much it costs.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people ask me, oh, I need to speak to somebody, I want to speak to spiritualists, etc. Then my first advice would be...
Don't.
Well, okay, there's that possibility. I think there's a sort of a rule of thumb, and often the best spiritualists will say this, is if you really need to see a spiritualist, then maybe now is the time not to see a spiritualist, because you really want to, you need to. So that means you're very vulnerable to being taken in. Also, you might be less likely to be critical. And you need to be critical.
But I've said this to you before, is when the vast majority of people who go to these spiritualist church evenings and readings and of people who have recently suffered loss of some kind.
Yeah,
so it's like almost case, like sheep to the slaughter, really.
Uh-huh.
Where people, everyone there, it isn't objective, because they're there with the sole purpose to get a message from a dead relative or a recently dead loved one. So they're there for that purpose. They're not going in as like sceptical, none of this is real, otherwise they wouldn't be there. So you've already got a room full of people who believe in this stuff. So it's the person doesn't need to, you know, really stretch to fake it, or, you know, they're just like, oh, I've got a room full of believers here.
So willing to believe, suspend their critical faculties.
I can get away with not anything, but I can be vague enough where I might just about get away with it.
There's a flip side of that, and just to be devil's advocate, but also just because I've often been in those sort of audiences, and often people are actually quite tough customers. They want to they don't want to leap at I mean, obviously there are people that they really well just go, ah, that's mm-hmm, me, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me, that's definitely that person. Yeah. But the flip side of that, there's I think certainly I've been in audiences in which probably many people are quite sceptical and reticent to believe, or at least have a higher threshold of going along with vague statements.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been picked a couple of times by mediums, and I would have to say that very much, and this is the thing, it very much depends on how generous I am being with interpreting their statements. If I wanted to be quite generous, I'd say, yeah, actually it was really quite good information and quite interesting information. The flip side of that is if I wasn't in that mood, I could say, well, it wasn't, you know, it could have been this, it could have been that, you know, and this is often the way that one of the issues with the information that spiritualists often provide.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of mental mediumship, obviously there's the like physical mediumship. That's another thing. That's maybe another subject for another day, because that's a different category of evidence entirely, and a different way of faking it, as it were, if they are faking it.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of just information, often it's just there. If you want to convince me, there has to be a better, more precise way of giving me information, I believe, as opposed to what seems like just sort of groping towards the truth.
Yeah, let me say this right. Say I went along, right, and this medium can in fact communicate with the dead, right? And say my granny, right, just hypothesize here, it's my granny, she's dead, right, she's come through. How comes they kind of be like, right, is there a Michael here? Yeah, you're Michael, right, okay. Your granny is here. Your granny Peacock, as she was known. she's here and she says, you know, blah, 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 really specific stuff. Because they're in communication with them.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
the issue.
Blah, 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 here's your thing. And they'd be just really specific and really nail it instead of going, did she have a thing? Did she have a thing when she passed? Tell me, just give me them, because you're the one talking to her.
Right, okay, to be devil's advocate, or for that matter, just to put the other side of the argument.
Okay.
Is there are mediums that are actually that good.
Yeah.
There are, but they're few and far between. Mm-hmm. It's all about the talent and the ability of the mediums. So, certainly in Glasgow, he was a man originally from Belfast, but Albert Best, he, and for most of his life, he was a postman. So he had a facility with addresses and names.
Right.
And he could apparently come up with names and addresses. So very specific details, the sort of information that you would find convincing and credible.
Yeah.
He's not just vaguely groping towards something. He's actually saying this name, that person, that address. And you'd be like, oh, right, okay, that's fairly specific.
Yeah, he's a postman.
Yeah,
who but he has was, access to everybody's name and address.
Well, it could be that would be hot reading then, wouldn't it?
My mate, he's a postman, and he can tell you any postcode like that. You go, where's this? And you go, oh, it's G44, whatever, like, you know, so. Postmen do have good recall when it comes to names and addresses. Yeah, and stuff,
whether or not
because it's repetition. If it had the same route as well for a number of years,
it's whether or not that person. I mean, you're talking about hot reading. Then you're talking about somebody having some prior knowledge or understanding of who they're speaking to, and they can pull. And certain mediums have certainly been accused of this. You know, they have assistants that find out. You know, if they know who's coming.
But a Facebook research.
Exactly. You can find out an awful lot of that, especially online these days.
Yeah.
But often, you know, some of the best cold readers, so they've not done any, but they can make assumptions and sometimes startlingly accurate assumptions about people just through cold reading. But anyway, my point would be is that to defend those spiritualist mediums that that are of a certain quality that apparently they are out there. They're just few and far between, and they would say it's the way the information comes. And this is what's interesting is, and certainly studies about ESP experiments, etc., is the idea is that actually information comes through the right hand side of the brain, so it's very much about visual. It's mm-hmm. visual information and impressions. So your left hand side of your brain very much is all about, it's all about actually all these specific things like numbers, like dates, like names. And if that part of the brain isn't really involved in being activated by ghosties when they're chatting to you, then that would explain why mediums find it so hard to give you the hard numbers, the hard letters, the data that you require to be convinced. Whereas they're just saying, well, all I would say is they should just be a bit more clear about what they're actually experiencing, instead of going, I've got an old woman, I can see a peacock, there's an old woman and a peacock, and let you put it together.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to, aye, there's a wee old bird, they've got a bird here, it's just a red, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So apparently, yeah, it's hard, an early spirit communicator compared to through a glass darkly, i.e. it's mm-hmm. really quite hard to communicate on their side through to us, but also from us on this side to beyond. So it's a hard thing, apparently. It's not easy to communicate, especially with the limitations of the human brain. But apparently some people are better at it than others, obviously.
Okay. Because I've seen people who are like, no, I'm constantly switched on, so I need to shut it off and then turn it on and off when it's required and stuff.
Yeah, my friend Simon, hello Simon, he accompanied me to a demonstration, and it was actually another sort of, certainly one of the most lauded and more impressive mediums is another Scottish medium, Gordon Smith, and he was demonstrating, and somebody on the other side of the room was talking about somebody who died in a motor, some kind of vehicle accident or something, some fatality on the roads. So then Gordon moves over to his side of the room and says, "Is anybody here died in a motor? I'm getting somebody," which is interesting because there is this element that certainly I've noticed. There's very much an element of a stream of consciousness going along with mediums. It seems to be themes of an evening, whether or not the mediums are conscious of this,
mm-hmm.
but they certainly one statement flows into another, even if it's different people. There seems to be this sort of riffing, this sort of imaginative improv.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. I think I've seen this as well.
Yeah, so obviously that. So he's talking about one car, and then he moves over and he talks about another car. Motorbike. So my pal sticks up his name, and then Gordon Smith says a lot of. Quite frankly, once somebody sticks their hand up and you confess that you know someone that died in a motorbike accident, there's a lot of assumptions you could make about that. Yeah. One, the person probably died when they're young, if you're speaking to somebody, right? Two, they probably wore leather jackets. Three, they probably like loud music.
Yeah.
You know, lots of things like that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So a lot of those statements were made that you could have just assumed. But right, but you know, at the end of this thing, Gordon just went, and I can see, I've got a name, I see an S, is it Stephen? Stephen, and that was his dead friend's name.
Right.
So to pull that out of nowhere, to me and to him, does seem to be rather impressive.
But soon you meet a person in real life, what's the first piece of information you get about that person? When you meet them,
their name.
So why was that piece of information last? I always find that as well.
Oh, okay.
Like, that should have been the first piece of information.
Well, I would
I've got Stephen here.
I would refer you to my previous answer. That the whole name, the fact that he got a name at all is impressive. Yeah. That would be his thing. Not very few mediums can actually come up with things like names and addresses.
Yeah.
And
I think it'd be interesting maybe to get an actual psychic medium on the podcast where I could just grill them and be like, right, so how does this work? How does this work? How does it? And just actually, because I don't want to go up to like a medium.
I think you've got too much negative energy, Michael.
Yeah, they would probably just go like, no. You're going to just pick holes and everything.
I say so. Too much negative energy, and my magic powers only work with good energy.
Yeah,
and your bad energy cancels it out. Yeah, and it's not going to work. That's an argument I've also heard.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like flat earthers. When you say, you know, the earth isn't flat because of this reason, they go, aye, but what about, and it's just nonsense. Yeah, they just take something that's, and just twist it.
That's just fake.
To suit them, yeah.
So, all I would say is I'm not a total skeptic. I'm interested. I think if they operate ethically,
yes,
then they can be a good thing. I think grief counselling, bereavement counselling by mediums who, even if they charge money, if they do it right, then I think it can be effective, especially because a lot of people say, well, this person's passed on, but every time you think of them, you know, you draw them near and they're fine, you don't have to worry about them, but they worry about you, they want you to move on with your life, you've got to move on, you know. So mm-hmm. I've heard lots of spiritualists give really good advice.
That stuff I don't have a problem with.
In terms of bereavement, so that's all cool. But when it comes to people that are just talking nonsense and sometimes charging an awful lot of money for
yes.
it, then those people are scumbags.
Yeah, I mean, I think I told you, I don't know if it may have been you, but there was a famous or a well-known operating psychic in Glasgow who would book them for parties, right?
Right.
So if there's somebody, we'll go here and have a few drinks and we'll get this guy run or this lady run, we'll try to be, you know, vague, to do readings for them and stuff like that. And it was for a documentary on the BBC. And they followed this person to one of these parties, and they're going along and listening, and they're saying, you know, and they're talking about being a medium and, you know, and how, you know, how they communicate and, you know, telling you a wee bit about how they do their thing. And then you see them being filmed, like, going into this house, this party, and then a couple of minutes pass, and he's, like, getting chased out of the house by the family, who are like, oh, he was rubbish, like, you know, just, like, slaying him, saying, like, and he's like, and it was, like, another one, like, it just wasn't work, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't working at night, or whatever, it wasn't, yeah. my skills weren't, working for whatever
you
reason.
You saw this?
I saw this, it was on television.
Oh, wow.
And it was just chased. He got chased. It was a guy. It was a male, and he got chased out of this party.
How delightfully comic!
Yeah, and it was quite funny. It was really funny because it was in Glasgow as well. So it's even funnier.
Do you know what would be great though? Is if they chased him out an alley and killed him, but then his ghost came back to haunt them.
Yeah.
So who's won now?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I say if that was would be funny per se.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Death.
Being murdered Ghosts. By an angry mob. He did his reputation no good by appearing on this BBC documentary.
Yeah. It's a danger, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know, that's the thing. I think there are people out there that do have some kind of chops that present interesting evidence that's worthy of further scrutiny and testing, and certainly you can test mediums under a sort of a scientifically controlled sort of manner.
Can see, this is going to be my thing, right? Has there ever been a case, and you'll know this probably, has there ever been a case where a psychic has been tested under pure scientific? And the results have been. Positive.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like, extremely positive. Yeah, right. Extremely positive. But the problem is this: it's just like the rest of parapsychology; they still get ignored.
Yeah.
Even though the results can be very, very positive.
Yeah. Because if I was to take someone put them in a highly scientific environment and have them show, I'd be like, right, okay, right, that's fine, that's all I wanted. Yeah. That's all I wanted to know. That it's either real or it's not. But it's just, it's too... I've just not seen the evidence or the solid proof that I need to believe in it.
Fair enough.
When I was younger, keep probably... probably would have been like, aye, no problem, I'll believe in this. But I can't, because I've never seen anything that...
Case closed. Yeah. I'm definitely convinced. Yeah.
When I've seen things and stuff with my own eyes and heard things and
ghosties
all that.
Ghosties have said yes to you.
Correct. And then, you know, I've seen things in the sky that could be UFO, and I've seen, you know, I've never seen, although, you know, I'd put it in the same category as, like, the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
Because I've never seen it,
So
therefore I can't fully believe in it.
Fair enough. Okay, do you want me to wrap this all up with some high energy chat?
Yeah, go for it. We need to give a shout out to Gary as well.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary. Franklin, who's the wonderfully talented musician who just done our new theme tune.
That's it.
That you heard at the start of this episode.
I know, thanks very much. That's very kind.
Yeah, we love it.
We love it. It's ace. Okay, so next week we're going to do...
Chutney. Are we doing the Ghost Roads?
Oh, I don't know. Right. Next week, something else.
It'll be something else. We'll pull something out for somewhere.
Oh, just like Helen Duncan.
Just like Helen Duncan. Did he make that noise? There's a question. Have you ever seen anyone produce ectoplasm?
I've seen photographs. There's meant to be a physical medium circle in the East Coast that produces ectoplasm. I mean, it just looks like, the photographs, it just looks like mucus.
Yeah.
And it might just be mucus, but it might be ectoplasm.
Because that's not something you... Is that something that you get a lot of these days? Or is
It's not as common as it used to be, but that's an interesting thing about spiritualism and, you know, like many other... aspects of human society, you know, there are trends. Some things come into fashion, some things go out of fashion, and there used to be a lot more.
I mean,
spiritualism started with basically table turning, and rapping and things like that. That was enormous. That was huge, and it almost never happens. And at most mediumship these days is a mental mediumship, which is the stand on a stage, be slightly camp, and have somebody coming in your ear.
I think your challenge
What's that, darling? What's that? That's right, yeah. They're saying it hurts.
Yeah.
But they're okay now.
They're at peace.
You know, they're just the same on the other side as they were, unless it's horrific to think about. Otherwise, they're fine.
Yeah, they were blown into a million pieces, right. But they're okay now.
So they're saying, you know, the itch... You'll understand. I'll just leave it with you.
In fact, there's one. Quickly. I can't remember. It was a well-known psychic.
Psychic.
Who done a reading for someone? Who I'll tell you because we can't see the name.
Okay.
On the podcast.
Okay.
And this person died a pretty horrific death at a young age.
Right.
And this medium then proceeded to give these details to the person's mother in a reading. Which I remember thinking, that's a bit terrible. Because that person went to get closure, or not, they would never get closure, but they went to get, you know, information, and the medium gave the mother some...
To let you know.
Yeah.
That their head came off.
Yeah, clean
but
off.
They were still conscious.
Yes, for
as
3 minutes.
So.
Yeah.
Like it's. They're,
not, so they've never felt pain like it.
Twitching torso.
Yeah.
Disappear down the
M8.
Leaving a large stain as if God himself was buttering the tarmac with jam.
It was basically like that.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But they're at peace.
But
now.
They're at peace now.
They're at peace.
They're
now.
Alright. They're alright, but yeah. So there's that.
Okay, so we just leave you
on that horrific, horrendous bombshell.
We'll give a spiritualist medium sign off now. So yeah. We leave that with you now and with their love. Okay, God bless. Goodbye.